This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great to be back in studio here on this Tuesday morning so we can take your phone calls and more. But what a road trip we have had over the past few days. You guys that just heard the Fox News update here at the top of the 6 o'clock hour here this morning, you heard about this massive bridge collapse in Maryland. And I saw some of the video online. Crazy video. And obviously there's rescue divers in the water right now as we speak, rescue efforts ongoing. But the video is a creepy, kind of crazy video. You can see the massive container ship. It almost looks like a cruise ship because, you know, it's at night and all you see are kind of the lights on various decks of the container ship. And you see it slowly floating towards the massive bridge in Maryland, and then it's like the lights blink off and then they blink back on again, maybe once, maybe twice, and then you see a big splash in the water, and then all of a sudden the crash, and then the bridge just completely, massive bridge just completely fall down. So that's just some of the videos that I've seen via X or Twitter, as you might refer to it here earlier this morning. But obviously, we'll continue getting those updates when the Fox News updates air at the top and the bottom of the hour here over the next couple of hours. But a lot of other big stories to talk about here this morning. I want to get back to, you know, really what happened this past weekend as well, and these outrageous votes by Liberal Senator John Tester. And it's no wonder, as Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton was talking about, that Tester did not want to have to make these votes late into the evening on Friday and early into the morning on to Saturday. And in fact, in the bridge collapse news is sadly kind of a reminder of the collapse that's happening all across America under Joe Biden and John Tester's policies right now. And obviously we're seeing this decline in America take place, this deliberate decline in America take place. We're doing better here in Montana, thankfully. We're so lucky to be here in Montana. We're doing better here than other parts of the country in the blue states and in the blue cities. But yet, nonetheless, feeling the impacts of the national headwinds that are going on here. It's just such a symbol of just the decline that we're seeing under this current administration. Now, we don't know whether this was a deliberate attack or some sort of accident that took place in Maryland. But what we are seeing is, with the open borders invasion underway, the massive spending driving up inflation, we are seeing a deliberate attack on this country, a deliberate decline in America right now as a direct result of Joe Biden and John Tester's policies. But I mean, yeah, here you go. You had Liberal Senator John Tester. He didn't want to take these votes because he knew they would be unpopular with his constituents. He knew that Montanans would not like the way that he was going to vote because he is so in bed with the radical left. And he says one thing in Montana, he does another thing in Washington, D.C. He says one thing in front of the cameras, even in Washington, and another thing behind closed doors with these senators. He voted to continue flying illegal aliens all across this country on secret flights. He voted in support of men invading women's sports. And he voted against the Lakin-Riley Act. That's just three of the bad votes he took this past weekend.
Securing America.
America's national security infrastructure continues to react to the recent ISIS attack at a concert hall in Moscow. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder spoke about the ISIS threat Monday.
It's something that we just have to keep after and not underestimate their ability to conduct these kinds of attacks.
The attack in Russia came one day after U.S. CENTCOM Commander General Eric Kurilla said this before the House Armed Services Committee.
I assess ISIS Khorasan retains the capability and the will to attack U.S. and Western interests abroad in as little as 6 months with little to no warning.
That sentiment echoed by Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio Monday on Fox and Friends.
ISIS would love to do what they did in Moscow here in the United States in multiple places if they could.
Rubio says the lack of security at the U.S. southern border makes it easier for ISIS to place personnel here for a potential attack. Kim Buretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stays cloudy today. We'll see some snow shower activity around the area. Any accumulation stays less than a half inch. High temperatures range from the mid-30s in Billings to the lower 40s in Bozeman. For tonight, snow shower chances early on, followed by lows in the low to mid-20s. The outlook into Wednesday then calls for the return of some sunshine. Highs in the upper 40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, but what about Puff Daddy? What is going on with Puff Daddy? Sean Diddy Combs. Did I say that right, Tim and Savage? Is it Sean Diddy Combs? Is that what he goes by, Puff Daddy? I don't know. He got some Distinguished Alumni Award when I was at Howard University. He only went there 2 years. I only went there 2 years. But don't worry, I won't be getting any Distinguished Alumni Award there. Yeah, crazy. I pulled up X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, earlier this morning. And you know how you start seeing a bunch of random stuff, whatever the algorithm shows. All of a sudden, I started getting all this Puff Daddy news. Apparently, two of his homes got raided by the feds. But yet they couldn't find him, and maybe he took off on his private jet to some country to escape U.S. extradition. Anyway, that's kind of a crazy story, so not sure what all's going on there. Plus, the other question I had over the past couple of days was this. Okay, did all the Kate Middleton Photoshop people finally shut up? Were you guys like me? There was all this controversy about Kate Middleton. She's one of the UK royal princesses. Oh, look at this photoshopped family photo. And I'm like, who cares? Or really, all the people that are making a big deal out of Kate Middleton's photoshopped family photo are the same people that can't post one picture to Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else without throwing so many filters on it. Their husbands look like a Chinese China baby doll in the freaking photograph with rosy cheeks and lipstick on because of the filter you threw on it. It's always funny when people do that. But yeah, all these people who literally touch up and make all these enhancements to every photo they share online. We're all in a tizzy about Kate Middleton in some Photoshop thing. And I was just thinking, why don't you people shut up? Nobody, you don't know what her family's going through right now. You don't know what she's going through right now. And then, of course, on Friday, we found out that she's been, you know, fighting cancer. So, okay, so sounds like a lot of the Photoshop people are finally shutting up about it. I didn't even realize that. I saw a Fox News story this morning, but apparently the hosts of The View were some of the people that were in a tizzy about Kate Middleton and the Photoshop deal. And so the View hosts are now basically apologizing. They expressed regret over their lighthearted joking and speculation about where she has been in recent weeks. Yeah, big surprise there that the hosts of The View would, you know, open their mouths about something that they should have, frankly, they should have thought twice. They should have known, like, hey, maybe there's a reason that she is staying out of the limelight for a little while. You know, anyway, that's just the state of the sensational kind of media that we are in these days, isn't it? Other big story, of course, President Trump back in the news yesterday. That they're saying that this court ruling yesterday is a win for President Trump. Let me see here. I know I've got a lot of information we can share with you on that story. I wanted to give you a little bit of a scene setter here first, though. Yeah, here we go. Former President Trump and his legal team are doing a victory lap after getting an appellate court to reduce his New York civil fraud case bond of $454 million to $175 million. The decision prevents New York State Attorney General Letitia James from seizing former President Trump's assets. And so Alina Haba, the spokeswoman for the legal spokeswoman for President Trump, was on with Jesse Waters primetime last night talking about that. I know it's seen as a win for Trump, but still, I still just think that this is a slap in the face to the American people, that this whole absurd political persecution against Trump is still moving forward, and that he would even have to post $1 of a bond over this nonsense. But I know his team sees it as a win, given the, you know, the weight of political persecution he is facing amidst this, you know, injustice system in the state of New York. So I get why they see this as a victory. Yeah, I mentioned Alina Habba was on with Jesse Waters last night. Here's a portion of that segment.
Let's bring in Trump legal spokeswoman Alina Habba. Aliba, what happened today?
We won. You know, no, we didn't win. You know when we'll win? When we get this all reversed, which is what's going to happen. So what happened today was that Letitia had to eat every single tweet she has posted since the day the twisted order from Judge Engoron came out, with the ridiculous number, with the disgusting injustice on the American people, not just Donald Trump. And I would love to see what she tweeted today, because she was having fun posting the interest on a man who has done nothing wrong and a family who's done nothing wrong every single day. And then the appellate division came in and said, sorry, due process still exists in America. You still get a right to keep your assets until we get to review what all these lawyers are saying was wrong. 11 weeks, I have never seen something, Jesse, like I saw in that courtroom. It was a travesty on the justice system. And I am so proud of the appellate division for giving us the opportunity. They didn't reverse the case, but they will when they see what we saw. It was a disgrace. And today, there was a little bit of faith in the American system that I've lost over the past few years, I'll be honest with you.
Do you think Tish James and Judge Engoron, do they feel ashamed, a little embarrassed? Have they felt, I don't know, maybe did they overreached a little bit after this decision?
Well, that would mean that they have a moral compass or a conscience, and I don't feel that that exists. People that go on TV, censor Donald Trump, shut him off when he's speaking, want to act like he's about to go broke, want to act like he's poor and that's why he couldn't get a bond that no private company has ever been asked to get.
And then, of course, he posts it all in cash. Cold, hard cash. There was a funny back and forth with Trump and the media. I'll play that next.
Good Tuesday morning. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordenlund. California consumers are experiencing higher pork prices after the full implementation of California's Proposition 12, which took place on January 1st of this year. A USDA analysis found that pork prices in California rose by an average of 20%, with pork loin seeing the largest increase at 41%. This increase is attributed to the law's restrictions on pen sizes for pork facilities in and outside of California. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling in favor of California on a lawsuit filed by the National Pork Producers Council. The ruling effectively gave California the go-ahead to fully implement restrictions on the sale of pork in the state only from facilities compliant with pen size restrictions established by Proposition 12. Throughout the legal battle, pork and other industry groups warned California consumers would pay more for pork unless the law was tossed. That assumption was correct, as I mentioned, with pork prices 20% higher than they were last year. Additionally, California's share of national fresh pork consumption fell from 10 to 8%. The study suggests that compliance costs and supply limitations have contributed to the price hike. To prevent this from happening in other states and harming family farmers and ranchers, federal lawmakers are considering the Exposing Agriculture Trade Suppression Act, which would prevent similar laws from taking place that would hinder trade within the U.S. This is the Western Ag Network.
The Montana FFA State Convention is headed for Billings April 3rd through the 6th at Metro Park this year. At State Convention, students from across Big Sky Country compete in contests like livestock evaluation, egg sales, agronomy, agri-science, mechanics, speaking, and more. There's also an exciting trade show. So make plans now and join us at the Montana FFA State Convention and help support the future of agriculture. For all the details, visit MontanaFFA.org. Ranchers at Holt Angus of Havre, Montana. They've built a successful program for the commercial cowman based on cattle with maternal performance, genetics with maternal integrity. Saturday, April 6th is their 8th annual production sale featuring 40 yearling bulls, 26 virgin 2-year-old bulls, and 16 registered yearling open heifers. The sale offering this year is again very heavily influenced by OCC and the old in-bar emulation bloodlines. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also broadcast online at FrontierLiveSale.com. For more information, visit HoldAngus.com.
Some alarming animal health news out of the southern states, where USDA and other federal and state agencies on Monday confirmed that an unknown number of dairy cattle in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico on dairy farms have become sick with highly pathogenic avian influenza. Now, during the past 2 years, highly pathogenic avian influenza has led to infections and depopulation of more than 115 million poultry in commercial and backyard flocks. However, now it appears that the bird flu has jumped species. The illness that has recently hit primarily older dairy cows in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico is causing decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. While stating this is a rapidly evolving situation, USDA stated there was no impact on human health, including milk or other dairy products. At this stage, USDA says there's no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply and that there is no risk to consumer health. Unlike poultry, which were needed to be depopulated, it's anticipated that the dairy cattle are expected to fully recover from the avian influenza. This is a developing story we'll continue to cover here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Ortblond.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, just want to start by saying a big thank you to our friends out in Lodgegrass for hosting us out there at the Little Horn Market. Big thanks to Dylan Dawson and his family for hosting us. Had a great time out there. Thanks to Mayor Quincy for coming out and joining us on the show. CJ Stewart, the Crow Nation Energy Director. Stacy Zinn dropped by. State Senator Brad Molnar made the drive out for it as well. So anyway, we had a great time, and then we did one of our events highlighting inflation after our radio show, separate from the radio show. We did our grocery store gift card giveaway, and man, absolutely incredible. We had over 200 people show up, got a chance to say hello to everybody and meet just a ton of folks, ton of great folks in Lodgegrass. So thanks to everybody who came out and saw us after the radio show as well. That was just incredible. For you early risers who missed our program, obviously full audio on our Montana Talks app right now. Plus, I've got a headline. I did a little write-up that I put together here talking about the incredible leaders that we caught up with in Lodgegrass. One guy that we caught up with after this show, you know, they had a big basketball tournament down in Denver over the weekend that a lot of folks were at, but Lodgegrass basketball coach Josh Stewart was, of course, down in Denver for that. So he joined us right after the radio show wrapped up yesterday morning, and so I got a chance to do a quick conversation with him. I'll share that for you later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show today. But some of you early risers would have missed it potentially in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, because we had a best of audio for you for the first couple hours of the program while I was getting set up from Lodgegrass. But I touched on this a little bit in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, but of course, since we were out on the road, we weren't able to take your phone calls about it either. If you wanted to jump in and give us your take on this story here. But yeah, this is a big story. Did this get any attention elsewhere and by any other so-called news outlets here in Montana? Did they cover these votes that John Tester placed over the weekend, or did they continue covering for John Tester? I mean, how many times will they take one of his fake phony press releases where he takes credit for stuff that he didn't necessarily do, or he buries information about what he actually did in support of open borders, et cetera? They will copy and paste his press release as if it's news. But yet, here is major news about some of these insane votes that John Tester just cast over the weekend in some late night, early morning action, Friday night and early Saturday morning. And you know, I mean, there was some national news attention about his votes, but did any Montana news outlets cover this other than just little old me? Here on our Montana Talks website, John Tester voted to continue flying illegal aliens on secret flights all across the U.S. He voted against the Lake and Riley Act. He voted in support of men invading women and girls' sports. So if you want a man
in the locker room with your daughter, vote for John Tester. What a doozy of a weekend, even for liberal Democrat Senator John Tester of Montana. I'll tell you what Stephen Miller had to say about all of this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Rescue crews are searching a river in Baltimore where a container ship crashed into and took down the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
At this time, this is an active search and rescue mission. We know there were individuals on the bridge at the time of the collapse working on the bridge.
Early State Transportation Secretary Paul Wiedefeld. Two rescues are reported, one person in serious condition. The fire chief suggests maybe seven people are missing, but that number could change. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is expected to announce a running mate today for his independent presidential campaign.
Several names have been floated as a possible VP pick, and the campaign has confirmed two of those on the short list, NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former pro wrestler and Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Another name rumored to be under consideration, California-based attorney and mega donor Nicole Shanahan.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, the announcement's happening at an event in Oakland, California. America's listening to Fox News.
Yeah, I just think of these fake, phony commercials and ads by liberal Senator John Tester. Well, I'm just a poor old dirt farmer. Just a poor old dirt farmer. Oh, for Pete's sake, you're worth millions of dollars, man. You've been a United States senator for nearly two decades. You make six figures every year, and that's not even counting all the cash that gets stuffed in your campaign account. I mean, give me a break. I'm just a poor old dirt farmer. Give me a break. You've spent $1.2 million at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants like the Bistro B and the my personal favorite. I've never been there myself, but my personal favorite John Tester restaurant is the Bistro Cacao. That's one of the other places where he spent part of this $1.2 million. I'm just a poor old dirt farmer. BS, man. BS. Stephen Miller, a prominent border policy advisor to former President Donald J. Trump, went off on liberal Senator Tester in a series of tweets over the weekend. The first vote that caught my eye was, of course, the vote by Tester allowing men to compete in women's sports and go into the locker room and into the bathrooms. The National Republican Senatorial Committee pointed out how this vote shows that Tester is not a moderate. He is a radical leftist. Stephen Miller had a great line via X, and I think he used this line at the Montana GOP winter kickoff, or not winter kickoff, it was a summertime event in Missoula. I think it was their summer convention last summer, and I got to MC a chat with Senator Daines and Governor Gianforte and right before Stephen Miller spoke. And he had a similar line to this then, but he said this over the weekend. How many dirt farmers do you know that think men in dresses should compete in our girls' sports leagues and undress in their locker rooms? He added that Tester is a phony and a fraud. So, yeah, think about that. Do you want men? Did you guys see this viral video? This woman was in the locker room at a Planet Fitness, and there's a dude, a man, standing at the sink in the women's bathroom, in the women's locker room. I looked like he was shaving. Had a towel over his neck. Looked like he was shaving. But he identifies as a woman. And this lady, like, does a video out in front of this Planet Fitness complaining about it. And they canceled her membership instead of his. And he's hanging out in the women's locker rooms. I mean, that's how twisted these people are. John Tester voted in support of that man being in your daughter's locker room or bathroom. That's how crazy radical leftist John Tester is. Oh, I'm just a poor old dirt farmer. Yeah, BS, man. BS. He also voted to continue flying illegal aliens all across the U.S., voting against an amendment by Senator Bill Hegarty that would have blocked it, that would have stopped the Biden administration from using your taxpayer dollars to fund these charter flights all across America. And, of course, he voted against the Laken Riley Act. But that should be no surprise to you because you might remember he also voted against Kate's Law back in the day as well. The guy is a radical leftist. He is no moderate.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us make some kind of economic plan for our retirement, for better or for worse. We try to set money aside, pay down our mortgage, and think about what we'll live on. And we plan on Social Security as part of that equation. But the plan for Social Security itself, the giant national retirement plan we paid into all our working lives, is something I call the no plan. because not a single thing is being done to prepare the plan itself for the future, even though we've known for decades that its revenues will fall short of its promised payments soon. The current projection is that year will be in 2032. Some say that Social Security will run out of money. That's totally false. It will have hundreds of billions of revenue, but its obligations will be higher. The No Plan plan then kicks in. Payments will cut substantially to make ends meet. How much? Perhaps by 20% or more. That's the plan of anyone who says we can't touch Social Security. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Saving $1 million can seem like a very unattainable goal without the help of a family inheritance or a lucky lottery ticket. But the good news, it's actually possible, but it's going to take a lot of hard work and years of financial discipline. Some ways on achieving your $1 million target include making lifestyle adjustments to decrease overall spending. It could be something as small as making coffee at home versus buying Starbucks every day, to buying a used car outright instead of taking out a hefty loan for a new car. And don't take on more debt. And max out your 401k. And invest as early as you can. A good starting point is with low-risk investments like money market mutual funds and bonds. And have multiple streams of income. It can be difficult to build wealth from only one source, especially early in your career. And automate your savings. If you do, it creates a positive financial flow where you're saving money and building wealth without any extra effort on your part. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a few great callers on the phone line, so let's jump right into your phone calls here. 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne first up. Good to hear from you, Steve.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Okay, yesterday afternoon I was up at the hospital and got approached by a Native American guy that was trying to get signatures to put something on the ballot, right? And one of them was where he's wanting something about three Republicans and a Democrat can all run at the same time. I couldn't get what he's talking about there.
Oh,
but the
yeah.
one that I really, the one I really disagreed with is he said to hear this one here. So the winner's declared at 51%. And I sitting there like, I finally asked him, I said, I said, I'm a Republican. Are you a Democrat or what? Oh, I'm an independent. And I said, so let me tell you something. I said, you're asking for 51% to win the election? I said, you win the election by one vote. I said, if 100,000 people vote in Montana on something, I said, so we're going to have 100 more votes to be able to declare a winner because it's 1%. And I held my finger up and I go, I'm going to tell you, in the state of Montana, you need one vote to win.
Oh, yeah.
He finally looked at me. Goes, he finally looked at me. Says, "Thank you for your time." And he walked away.
Well, I think he might have been miss. He might have just misspoke. I think he probably meant exactly what you were saying, which is that there's an effort to require a majority of a vote, right? Because like John Tester, for example, has won the state without winning a majority of the vote. You know, Libertarian gets this much, or Republican gets that much, et cetera, and so. But separately, yeah, that other thing that you're referring to, no, there is an organized effort right now to basically instill a ranked choice style voting system. And I know there's a lot of people who are very concerned, very opposed to that effort because, you know, it just seems like, it's frankly, it's rank, it stinks. If you ask me, this whole ranked choice voting deal. And they're trying to move away from the primary system that we have right now.
Right. But getting back to that 51%, there's a lot of states that require a 51% margin to win. And if it's not, it's a runoff. And that's kind of what happened in Georgia, wasn't it, here in 2020?
Well, yeah, they do runoff elections. But I'm trying to think, is it 51% or is it just... you have to get above 50%. Like you say, whether that's one vote, 100 votes, 1,000 votes, whatever, it's just you have to break 50%. You have to get more than half. You have to get a majority of voters to support you, or they'll do a runoff election, which I like that concept because to me, it's like, okay, think about that. If we had a runoff election, I think it's highly likely we wouldn't have been stuck with John Tester all these years because he banks on dividing the right and dividing everyday Montanans so that he can you know barely get across the finish line. And so if we had a runoff election where it's just head to head Republican versus Democrat, I think he likely could have lost in past elections, but it's hard to speak hypothetically on that front. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Next up, we got Russ in Billings. Russ, what's going on?
Hey, I'm just weighing in on the Planet Fitness deal. You know, go woke, go broke. It's their prerogative. They want to let dudes in the women's locker room. It's everybody else's prerogative if they want to patronize that gym or not. There's a lot of other good gyms in town. I would encourage people to go elsewhere if that's their management philosophy.
Well, and I should find out. I'm assuming because there is a Planet Fitness in Billings, right? Maybe a couple of
them.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Are they a locally owned franchise? So you know, as
that's a good question.
Yeah, I wonder because I it wasn't just to be clear, it wasn't at a Montana location where this mm-hmm. occurred, but still, like, yeah, if that's what big Planet Fitness is going to do, there's going to be repercussions. In fact, there already have been big repercussions. Their stock went in the tank after this whole controversy, after they basically, you know, punished the woman who spoke out about a man being in her bathroom. You know,
yeah, that's a pretty big price to pay just to be woke to please a very small percentage of the population. Hey, I was reading Fox News this morning, and I guess in California, if you're a dude that identifies as a woman and you go to prison, you can go to the women's prison. Now, how nice is that?
Well, no, they've been doing that for a while. That's why they've been having a lot of these problems with, like, pregnancies and women's prisons and, you know, other sexual assaults. Yeah, because it's like, oh, hey, if you're a dude and you get sent to prison, wait a minute, you tell me if I identify as a woman, I can hang out with the ladies?
Yeah.
instead of a bunch of dudes?
Yeah.
What a twisted world we are living. And then they'll use taxpayer dollars to fund, transition surgeries for these prison inmates and more. Crazy.
Yeah. Hey, also, I was reading Fox News this morning, and evidently the president of Mexico is demanding that we pay him $20 billion a year to stop the influx of aliens at the border. Who is he to dictate terms to us?
Oh, yeah. That was a story. I tell you what, if I was in studio yesterday morning, we would have been going off on that one early in the morning. Yeah, what was he on? 60 Minutes. He says, hey, if you don't send us this money, if you don't lift sanctions on Cuba, on Venezuela, we're going to keep sending the illegals your way. Could you imagine if this guy made that kind of a threat, those kinds of demands under a President Trump? I mean, I know
exactly.
I know Obama wasn't that great on foreign policy, but Obama, even if he may have agreed with Obrador behind the scenes, he would not have allowed him to say that type of stuff in public. He would have been like, man, you're making me look bad. You better shut your mouth right now. But Joe Biden is so weak that the Mexican president feels that he can make these threats and these demands, and he can just punk Joe Biden on a day-to-day basis whenever he wants.
Yeah, Biden needs to grow up here. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen, and even James Carville knows it. That's why James Carville, speaking of growing a pair, he talked about how, yeah, anyway, he had some choice things to say about the Joe Biden presidency and the Joe Biden White House. If you haven't heard it yet, I think we've got the audio we can share with you here. I think we've got that. Anyway, well, Russ, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. And I just got a message from Scott in Billings. It's not 51% of the vote. It would be 50% plus one vote. Yeah, that's what that was my assumption on that as well. But Scott, I appreciate you confirming that for me. All right, let's see. Next up, let me see where we're at on the phone lines here. Got a lot of great callers coming in this morning. Next up, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to say that I got a chance to talk to the Attorney General, Austin Knudsen, and I suggested that we, upon that we, oh, geez, come on.
Something with
Mexican
the flights?
Cartel, that we need to really give them the death penalty, and we need to get a bounty hunter task force after them. And I think that would help alleviate this problem. And he told me that about 10 years ago that we don't have the death penalty anymore, but if I do win my election, that if I could campaign on that and I could put up some legislation, it looks like he might go for that idea. Because I can't see wasting taxpayers' dollars on criminals that are foreign nationals that are just destroying our country, and they're murdering, you know, innocent Americans. It's just no way. I think Robert Kennedy Jr., he really seems to be coming out of the shadows lately. He has this 9-minute YouTube video called the Exemplary Nation video, and it's absolutely amazing what he has to say on this. And it looks like he's got actually 26% of the vote in Arizona. And that is, like I said, he's really coming out of the shadows here. And tomorrow he's going to announce who his VP choice is in Oakland, California. So I'm kind of waiting to hear what he has to say. But he's going to give Trump and this Biden a run for their money in the November 2024 election.
Yeah, that's my concern. That he would take more votes away from Trump potentially than Biden.
Yeah, you don't know. We'll find that out, won't we? And that's kind of got me worried, too, because all of this news about Trump in the mainstream media about his lawsuits and his bails and everything, it's starting to, I think, take a toll on the American voter for the Republican Party. But, you know, if you vote Democrat, you're killing America. And right now, people like John Tester has the United States looking like Humpty Dumpty.
That's no good point. Yeah, and that's going back to that this tragic bridge collapse in Maryland. I mean, sadly, that just seems to be a symbol of the decline that we're seeing under Joe Biden and John Tester, especially when you make that Humpty Dumpty reference. Nancy, thanks for the call. We'll get to Thomas and Billings right after this. Phone line's open for you, too.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Democratic constituencies have a negative view of Biden's actions. You know, with African Americans, it's 41% negative view. Hispanic Americans, 53%. Women, 53%. Why do you think Joe's gone so hardcore trying to rally his base and bolster support in his base? Because he's losing the traditional coalition that represents the Democratic Party in droves. He's down 23.4% among African Americans, according to a number of polls, and where he was in 2020. You know, right now it's almost a dead heat with Hispanic Americans, again, down by over 20 points from where Biden was back in 2020.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Ronald Reagan took this country from the depths of inflation in the 1970s to economic prosperity in just a few years' time. He knows a thing or two about saving a country in distress, and now you can get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. All qualified callers who call the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, this week will get a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD and get yours free while supplies last. Ronald Reagan cut taxes, cut government spending, and gave us peace through strength. Now you can celebrate this great president with a limited-run half-ounce silver coin from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. They're a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. Call them today at 855-815-GOLD and get your hands on a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Will you owe income tax on the sale of your home? I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Whether you will owe tax when you sell your home depends on how much the home's value has appreciated and if it's your primary residence. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says there are IRS rules.
If you lived in it 2 out of the last 5 years, you can exclude up to $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 if you're married filing jointly.
Zellin says if you sell your house early in the year, you may need to make estimated tax payments on the gain, or you may owe
729207.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, of all the stories that we've talked about already this morning, I've got a couple of messages on our Montana Talks app about Puff Daddy. What in the world is going on with this Puff Daddy news? Get to that here in a second, plus tell you the messages that we got in the inbox here. But first, let's go to Thomas in Billings. Thomas, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is John Tester signing off on Biden's ability to fly people into this country. We have a law, Greg Gianforte said we are not a sanctuary state. You will not fly those people in here. John Tester, he gets earmarks. He gets to build a bridge and Big Sandy and make everybody feel happy and everything. But you know what? This is Montana. We will not take sanctuary cities. We will not take sanctuary. We will not house illegal aliens in this state. Greg Gianforte, the best governor we ever had. Kim Sheehy needs to put John Tester out of business. And
He's working on it. And that's why he needs everybody's help in that fight as well. And I know he's hitting the ground hard. Yeah, no, great to hear from you, Thomas. Thanks for calling in. All right, just about out of time. This hour of the show had a couple of messages that came in here. So at the top of the hour, I said, what in the world is going on with this Puff Daddy news? When I opened up Twitter this morning, there was like Puff Daddy news all over the place. Tim in Billings says this, Aaron, regarding Sean Combs, I want to know who in the Democrat Party did he tick off enough for them to sic the weaponized DOJ after him? I mean, if he is guilty of sex trafficking, I hope he is punished to the stiffest penalty. But let's be honest, there are lots of liberals doing lots of shady crap that don't have the financial or social clout that this guy had. And they seem to have a pass. So what is the Puff Daddy news? Here you go.
A U.S. official confirms to Fox News that these Homeland Security raids are, in fact, in connection to a federal sex trafficking investigation. Heavily armed agents could be seen raiding Sean Diddy Combs' house in the Holmby Hills area here in L.A. Several people could be seen being escorted from the property, some appearing to be detained or arrested, some in handcuffs. Meanwhile, over in Miami, some federal agents there arrived at Combs' waterfront property by boat, conducting a raid there as well. HSI is only confirming an active investigation based out of their New York office.
All right. Now, I guess what I didn't hear in that report and what I saw on Twitter is, so did they not find him? Did he escape on his plane? What's the rest of the story there? Hey, anyway, maybe some of you guys know. Maybe you can share it with us. Not that that's the most important story of the day for us here in little old Montana, but obviously it drew enough interest for a couple of messages here this morning. Let's see. Jay in Billings says this. We are in a war against our way of life, a war against ignorance so profound that it threatens our very lives. We ought to study what is happening to the ranchers just miles off the nation's southern borders. There's also an alarming situation on our northern border. not looking so good from that direction either. Just saying. That was from Jay in Billings, who also referenced the Puff Daddy news there from earlier as well. Let's see. Just about out of time this hour of the show. Speaking of the entertainment industry, Forey J. Smith, the great character from Yellowstone, he's an actual cowboy in real life. Apparently, he had a little altercation on a plane. Didn't want to get stuck next to somebody wearing a mask, apparently.
Yellowstone actor Forey J. Smith claimed he was kicked off a flight after refusing to be seated next to a passenger wearing a face mask. The actor was stranded in a Houston, Texas airport and chose to share his story on Instagram, captioning the video, "You need to hear this story."
"I just told him I didn't feel comfortable about sitting next to somebody that had to wear a mask. I'm off the plane."
Smith.
Anyway, didn't want to be stuck next to some crazy person still wearing a mask, it sounds like.